ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं सुतोषयामुदीरये नस्तुत्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत्युत्तमश्लोके
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी.
This morning we're reading from the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 6, entitled Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates, text numbers 11 through 13. I suppose the first one is on the board, is it?
Atam priyaya anukampitaya.
Atam priyaya anukampitaya.
Sangam rahasyam ruchiramsya mantram.
Sangam rahasyam ruchiramsya mantram.
Suritsutatsneyasthitasushunam.
Suritsutatsneyasthitasushunam.
Kalaksharanam anurakta chitta.
Kalaksharanam anurakta chitta.
Putran smaramsta duvitre hridaya bratrin svasriva pitravchadina grihan manor yoru paritcha damscha vritischa kulya pasubhritya vargan yaye jakoshas kridivehamana Karmani lobhada vitripta kama Aupastya jayvam bahumanyamana Katam prajeta duranta moha.
Translation. How can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart, being always filled with their pictures, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear, and their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words. How could he give up their association? One's elderly parents and one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is especially dear to her father. And while living at her husband's house, she is always in his mind. Who could give up that association? Aside from this, in household affairs, there are many decorated items of household furniture, and there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? The attached householder is like a silkworm, which weaves a cocoon in which it becomes imprisoned, unable to get out. Simply for the satisfaction of two important senses, the genitals and the tongue, one is bound by material conditions. How can one escape? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In household affairs, the first attraction is the beautiful and pleasing wife who increases household attraction more and more. One enjoys his wife with two prominent sense organs, namely the tongue and the genitals. The wife speaks very sweetly. This is certainly an attraction. Then she prepares very palatable foods to satisfy the tongue. And when the tongue is satisfied, one gains strength in the other sense organs, especially the genitals. Thus the wife gives pleasure in sexual intercourse. Household life means sex life. Yan maitanadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham. This is encouraged by the tongue. Then there are children. A baby gives pleasure by speaking sweet words in broken language. And when the sons and daughters are grown up, one becomes involved in their education and marriage. Then there are one's own father and mother to be taken care of, and one also becomes concerned with the social atmosphere and with pleasing his brothers and sisters. A man becomes increasingly entangled in household affairs, so much so that leaving them becomes almost impossible. Thus, the household becomes griham andakupam, a dark well into which the man has fallen. For such a man to get out is extremely difficult unless he is helped by a strong person, the spiritual master, who helps the fallen person with the strong rope of spiritual instructions. A fallen person should take advantage of this rope, and then the spiritual master or the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna will take him out of the dark well. So what Prahlad Maharaj here is stating is reality. As I said, even Prahlad Maharaj grew up and entered into householder life. So it is not that there is anything good or anything bad in and of themselves. Everything can be used for the service of Krishna and help us to come closer to God. And everything can be used in the opposite direction, take us away from God. So, having a beautiful wife can be a very dangerous situation. Having a handsome husband can secure your ticket to hell. Final confirmed reservation. Or it can be a wonderful opportunity to bring up a Krishna conscious family and to preach in society nicely as a team. The fact is that every man is attracted to a woman and every woman is attracted to a man. That is nature's arrangement. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is not trying to change our impression, to change our situation. But the stress here is that if you don't take to Krishna consciousness, then you will never see the light of day. Just as someone who is condemned in a jail to solitary confinement, or someone who is given life imprisonment, he's always in a deep, dark dungeon, and sometimes he gets an opportunity to see the sun, but very less. So, we have to use our God-given intelligence. The first thing is we have to acknowledge our condition. If we don't acknowledge the fact that we are controlled in our present situation, we are controlled by our senses, then we're not going to be able to effect any kind of remedy. So we have to admit that I'm in darkness, I'm controlled by my senses, I'm attracted to the opposite sex, my tongue and my genitals are agitating me and driving me. And in such a condition, I'm simply becoming more and more entangled in material misery. Now, what can I do about it? Then, we can approach someone who is not entangled. we can approach someone who is on the path back to Godhead, who is making a final solution. I think, anyway, that's an act, that's a euphemism that Hitler used during the war, the final solution, because he had a wrong conception of the final solution. But our final solution is to get out of the bodily conception altogether, to understand that we are spirit souls and that happiness does not come from any kind of arrangement in the material world. No matter how you dream and imagine, we see in society, they're so expert, it's really, it's just one invention and one development after another, trying to please people's senses. Now the latest thing is virtual reality pleasure parks or entertainment parks or entertainment machines, where you not only get to enjoy your senses and body, but you can project yourself into a virtual body and enjoy. Roller coaster rides were not enough, but now we have to go beyond the body. And it's a fact that this particular body is a contradiction of opposites. There's pain and there's pleasure in the body, both. So oftentimes we get more pleasure in our dreams, because in a dream we don't have to suffer at all. We can make a world where there's only enjoyment, and we can be the center of that world, the hero who always gets the girl and who always wins the money and who's surrounded by so many loving friends and admirers. We can dream like that. But unfortunately, those dreams are temporary. We have to come back to reality. So the reality is that we have to stay here for 50, 60, 70, 80 years, up to 100 years. We have to stay in this world, even though we may have some realization, even though we may know something about spiritual life, but it doesn't mean that we can just say, you know, all of a sudden, okay, I've realized Krishna, beam me up, Krishna. Not like that, like in Star Trek, you know, beam me up, Scotty. You can't just say, okay, beam me up, Narad Muni. It doesn't work like that. You still have to stay here in the material world and deal with your purva karma, your past sinful activities. Krishna reduces them. Karmani nirdahati kintu chabakti vajam. He reduces them almost to nil, but there's still some residual motion, residual karma that we have to deal with. Also, we have a mission to please the spiritual master, and the spiritual master's mission is to give Krishna consciousness to more souls. Fallen conditioned souls, suffering conditioned souls. As long as people are addicted to sense gratification, they will have to suffer in the material world. Both, they will have to suffer miseries caused by burning out their own body. Even if you live in the forest all by yourself and don't come in contact with anyone else, but just by living in the body, the nature of the material world, everything is burning up. Everything is wearing down. Even if you drive a car on the most perfect roads, and even if there are no other cars on the road, and even if the weather is always very nice, and even if you have the best petrol, and you know, invariably, eventually, the car is going to break down. The tires are going to wear out. The engine is going to seize up. That's the nature of the material world, adhyatmic klesha. There will be miseries in your own body, no matter how good a facility. You can go to Brahmalok or any of the heavenly planets and get a very nice facility, material body, subtle material body, not gross. Still, at some point, you're going to have to get old, get diseased, and die. There are miseries caused by other living beings. And you may be the most popular woman in the world. Right? But some living being is going to cause you distress. Whether it be a drunken Frenchman, driver, or whatever it is. Invariably, someone's going to cause you distress in this world. You can't avoid that. Adibhoti, klesha. And it doesn't matter how nice the weather is. You may be in some beautiful tropical island, like Hawaii. Prabhupada said it's not possible to be happy in the material world. But maybe it's possible in Hawaii. It's a very nice climate there. But there are things that can happen to Hawaii. It's an island in the middle of the ocean. There could be a tidal wave. There could be any number of disasters in the middle of the ocean. There's nothing to protect the island. If there's a hurricane out there or whatever. So, adidaivik klesha, miseries will be there. There's nothing we can do about it. That is reality. The only thing we can do is create an environment where we are able to recognize the problems and with a cool head, with the association of other good people, deal with these problems and fix our mind on adhoksaja. Fix our mind on Krishna, who is transcendental, and then come out from this environment. It is the environment which is the nature of the environment will cause us distress. So, we have our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is an attempt to give people an opportunity to reawaken their dormant love for Krishna, to live their lives in that consciousness of Krishna, and even while in the material world, be unaffected by the miseries. So it is a very bold attempt, and we're not running away from society. We're taking the risk for the purpose of preaching, of living in the middle of a society gone mad. A society pushed by lust, anger, and greed. A society where anyone can do anything, however morbid, however cruel, however drastic, for the purpose of their own aggrandizement, for the purpose of their own enjoyment. They can kill their mother, their father, their relatives. They can say anything. do anything very risky. It's very frightening, actually. Probably one of the biggest causes of disease, one of the biggest causes of mental disease, is that in our subconscious mind, we are all aware of how little security we have in this world, and how few friends we have, and how few people we can trust. We really can't trust anyone, because everyone else is under the same pressure as we are, from the senses, from lust, anger, and greed. And just as our mind sometimes puts very lurid thoughts in our head, it is happening to so many others, maybe in a more acute way. So, if we want to be successful, we have to make a very strong community. The miseries will be there, the atmosphere will be there, the environment will be there, that we can't change either completely or even immediately. Whatever effect we're going to have, whatever victory we're going to have against Maya, this is her age, the age of Maya practically. She had no fun in Satya Yuga, because everybody was a Paramahansa. Today they're Parma Duck, but in those days, in those days they were Paramahansas, so they were not disturbed. And they would practice meditation and go back to Godhead. But now, in this age, people are very fallen. And Maya has every opportunity to make them attached. This is a description here. Family life means so much opportunity. You can go one way or the other. Family life can be a wonderful opportunity to fulfill all your material desires. And when you're free, then you can, at the latter stage of your life, you can renounce the world, because your desires have been relatively gratified. If you try to do it earlier, then you will be constantly thinking, just like the Brahmana who was doing his puja, living next door to the prostitute, and he was always thinking of the customers and how they were enjoying with the price. He was going swaha, but it was just, you know, his mind was always over in the brothel. His mind wasn't clean. He still had strong material desires. He was making a show of religiosity, of a brahmachari, but he actually wasn't suited. And the prostitute, although she had a very bad occupation socially, but her heart was good, and she was so impressed with the Brahmana, and she was actually worshipping the Brahmana in her mind, respecting, and thus respecting God, although, you know, her physical activities were not so good. But there's always men who are going to find out prostitutes. So, not her, then someone else. So she couldn't have stopped that. But her mind was in a good situation. So if someone is properly situated as a grihastha, if he's strong, a grihastha has to be strong. You can't be weak. Otherwise you will drown in the well. But if you and your wife, or you and your husband, intelligently discuss the reality and make a program for fulfilling your desires. It's not wrong to enjoy children. It's not wrong to enjoy nice prasadam. It's not wrong to even to create good children in sex life. What is wrong is to not do it according to Scripture and thus get out of control. If you get out of control, then your suffering is guaranteed. In that case, if you can't control your senses at all, then better not get involved. Grihastha life is for responsible and intelligent men and women who want to finish their stay in the material world and want to go back to Godhead in this lifetime or very soon. So we're trying to create a community where we can have a strong brahmachari ashram that will be a role model for the grihasthas. We want a grihastha community that are active, that are support the community, that they take a responsible attitude in protecting their family members, fulfilling their material desires in a legal, authorized way. And this is our right to do this. Even in society, we may be a little different in our dress and our style, but it is not so much different than any other religious order. We have the very best technology to offer. We have the topmost process. We have the best philosophy. We have such a jewel to give people. But they're so bewildered, they can't appreciate what we have to give them. It's like giving pearls to swine, to pigs. In the Bible says, don't cast your pearls to swine. And you talked about this the other day during the initiation, that one should not preach to the faithless or the demoniac, because they'll simply, like a serpent takes milk. If you feed milk to a serpent, it's good food, it's very beneficial, but the serpent will turn it into poison. So, in our preaching, we have to be careful, but at the same time, we take that risk and we do offer Krishna consciousness because it is a remedial measure. It is the only thing that will really give intelligent people full satisfaction, physically, mentally, intellectually. We can solve all their problems and turn them to Krishna. But we have to be strong in our own institution. We have a right. And we will be attacked by Maya's agents in so many ways. We have made mistakes. We may be making mistakes now, hopefully less. And in the future, we will probably make mistakes. There will be people who will fall down. But our attempt is honest. We're offering a good thing. We're living simple lives. Not simple lives, but simple lives. And we have a right to do this. And if someone attacks us, then we must stand together. We must stand up and fight for the right to raise our families in Krishna consciousness, to pursue the service of the Lord, to live a spiritual life. And believe me, there will be many different kinds of attacks, but it's just different tactics of Maya. Just like in a battle, the enemy may attack at night. They may attack in the early morning. They may feign an attack to your right flank when their main attack is to your left flank. They may do so many things. We should know that we have to be strong. We have to stand up and speak intelligently. We belong to a 5,000-year-old tradition. Millions and hundreds of millions of people in India follow this path. It is tried and true. It is nothing different. than early Christian traditions also. There's so many similarities. And we have a right to do this, and we must stand together. If we work together, we can be successful. If we're supportive and loving, we've already talked about these things. And if we stand together when the hour comes, when there is a need for all of us to unite together and fight outside attacks, this will strengthen us. It will strengthen our relationships working together in this way. So, Prahlad Maharaj is giving us an indication of what are the pitfalls of family life. We should not think that this is total condemnation. It's not condemnation of women. It's not condemnation of family life. It's condemning material life. It's condemning an attitude of enjoyment, the wrong attitude. It's simply guidelines, strong guidelines, how to live in the world but not of the world. Kamanam manasa gira nikila svapi avastasu jivan mukta sa uchate. So I hope that now when there is some attack against us in Slovenia, that we will put aside all of our individual concerns and come together and, you know, take up the challenge. Maya's challenging us. And this is for our benefit, to bring us closer together. Everything that Krishna does is for our benefit and for our learning, for our education. We're small now, so these attacks are serious, but, you know, what can, we can always regroup and rise again. I mean, it's not that people already have a super favorable impression of us and this will destroy our good reputation. Most people don't even know us that well. But while we are in our growing stage, if we learn to react to these emergencies in a, what's the right word, in a mood of solidarity, if we bond together, this will become part of our preaching. We must identify with each other. We must, the whole concept of ashram is to simultaneously have recognized the difference between ourselves and non-devotees, while at the same time offering a bridge that genuine people can come in and come over to this side. There is a difference. At the same time, that should not become a wall where we condemn everyone who's not a devotee. That's not the purpose. But we do need to recognize the difference, and we do need to stick together. And even in family life, there are going to be problems. You're going to get married, husband and wife, and you're going to face problems. Material desires will come up invariably. The Sanskrit word for a woman is stri. It means expansion of desires. So there's going to be a desire for a house and, you know, paraphernalia and this and that. It's natural. You need these things for sense gratification. So keep it moderate. Keep it simple. And together, if you have problems, consult other devotees. Work out your problems within the society. Don't go outside. together we can do if we have a loving, cooperative, non-envious environment. It sounds impossible, but it is possible, where there's lots of chanting of the holy names, where there's a mood to create something nice, if we're determined to do it, if we accept the principle that we want something, we want to get out of the material world. Well, you can get out of the material world even while living in this body. And we can do it together in our community. We need each other's help. We need support. Alone, we're very weak. It's a fact, the nuclear age. Everybody lives alone and drowns and goes to hell. But together, if we share and try our very best, Krishna will help us. So, I'm going to stop there. And I have some work to do, so I'm not going to ask for any questions. You probably have. Gantaraj, Srimad, yes, Mataji. Yes, quickly.
Talking about Krishna's popular five different qualities in the day before lunch.
Yes. Kanishka Adhikaris, we call them. Sometimes Madhya. Yeah? Well, I think they go to the planet of Jesus Christ. He has his own planet somewhere. You know. Maybe his holes in his hands. I don't know. Definitely they can make progress in spiritual life. Krishna. First I was a Krishna, then a Christian, and now I'm a Krishna. Yeah. I know wonderful people who are Christians. I even know lots of vegetarians. I met one lady in Germany, wonderful lady, wonderful devotee. She was a Seventh-day Adventist, very strong Seventh-day Adventist. She took her baby boy and offered him to God on the altar. Not our altar, when she was staying in a Seventh-day Adventist community. And, you know, she very strong in her belief, and she had some bad luck materially in Canada where she was living. She's from, I think she's Austrian or something. And anyway, she came back to Europe and she met the devotees and got inspired, and now she's offered her teenage son to Krishna again. He's not so willing, but he's going. Nice boy. He's not so willing to be offered a second time. But yes, she and her husband are wonderful devotees. They just had deities installed in their house, and he's working for the temple. A nice boy. I know lots of nice Christians. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam.